This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mother Nature's deadly mess. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, December 2nd. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A winter storm that crawled across the country during Thanksgiving week is blamed on at least seven deaths. It's hitting the Northeast today.
The Trump administration will skip an invite to attend an impeachment hearing this week. We'll preview what's ahead.
Police in New Orleans are looking for those responsible for a shooting near the French Quarter that left 10 people injured.
And as we head full steam into holiday shopping season, an in-depth look at the never-ending arms race among retailers to catch Amazon.
For free, you can come and take your Amazon return, get it packed, taped, and shipped out to Amazon. They'll do it all for you. But meanwhile, the idea is that you have now come to Kohl's, and so while you're there, presumably you're going to buy something from Kohl's.
Michael Corkery at the New York Times on today's changing retail landscape. The winter weather, already blamed for at least seven deaths as it moved across the country, is leaving its final mark today in the Northeast, bringing the first snow accumulations of the season to major cities like Philadelphia and Boston. The National Weather Service forecast heavy snow and freezing rain over the region through tomorrow, especially in the northernmost areas of New England. Boston and other coastal areas of Massachusetts were expected to get as much as 6 inches of snow, while areas farther inland could get up to a foot with ice accumulations. The Philadelphia area could get as much as 5 inches. Flight cancellations, meanwhile, are piling up in the region. Police Officer Steve Smith from Albany, New York, PD.
The biggest thing people can do right now as it continues to snow is stay home unless you really have to travel. If you do need to travel, we ask that you turn your headlights on, drive slow, and just really give yourself ample time.
New York City is expected to miss the worst of the storm, the same storm that's been creeping across the country for much of the past holiday week. A gunman has injured 10 people on the edge of the French Quarter in New Orleans. Police received a call at nearly 3:30 in the morning yesterday about a disturbance on Canal Street. New Orleans police spokesman Aaron Looney says when officers arrived, they were unable to determine who fired the shots because of the sheer number of people in the area. Canal Street is a brief walk from the popular tourist location of Bourbon Street. Here's Police Superintendent Sean Ferguson.
We did detain an individual. This is still in the preliminary stages of the investigation. We do not know if this individual have any involvement in this incident.
Police say there was a large law enforcement contingent already out in force overnight because of the Bayou Classic. The college football game ended just hours beforehand at the nearby Superdome Saturday night. The game is played annually between Grambling State and Southern University. 3 years ago, one person was killed and nine others injured following a shooting spree on Bourbon Street hours after that game. The White House says the Trump administration will not participate in a House Judiciary Committee hearing on impeachment this Wednesday. White House counsel Pat Cipollone sent a letter to committee chairman Jerry Nadler of New York last evening saying the administration will respond separately on whether the administration would participate in future hearings. Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins told Fox News that among those he'd like to see testify, Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
It's easy to hide behind a report. It's easy to hide behind a gavel in intelligence committees behind closed door hearings. But it's going to be another thing to actually get up and have to answer questions about what his staff knew, how he knew, what he did about the whistleblower report, his interactions that he's had with the Ukraine.
Today, members of the House Intelligence Committee are expected to begin reviewing a draft report on Mr. Trump's efforts to enlist Ukraine to investigate presidential candidate Joe Biden. While aid to that country was being withheld, the panel will vote on the report tomorrow, sending it to the Judiciary Committee to weigh articles of impeachment. It is 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell's biggest Cyber Monday week ever starts now. Save up to 50% on Windows 10 laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors before Windows 7 support ends January 14th, 2020. Save on servers and a huge selection of electronics with low monthly payments, plus get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/SBCyberMonday.
Welcome into Monday. Thanks for joining us. When lawmakers return to Washington this week after the long Thanksgiving weekend, the impeachment push will enter a month-long sprint, with Democrats aiming for a House vote by Christmas to formally charge the president, setting the stage for a trial in the Republican-led Senate. An in-depth look at the strategies ahead by each party from Jonathan Tamari, national political reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Jonathan, what's ahead?
Wednesday is when the impeachment inquiry will really kind of get going again, where it'll move over to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee is going to be hosting a number of their first hearing. They're going to be hosting a number of legal scholars to discuss kind of the grounds for impeachment, what the history of impeachment is, kind of laying out the legal framework. And this will be the first opportunity for the president's lawyers to directly participate. They've been invited to come in and ask questions of the witnesses as well, although we don't know yet if they're actually going to do that or not. They say they still consider this a biased process.
Yeah. I know there's this feeling out there that the Democrats are anxious to wrap this up. Why the hurry, I guess?
Well, I think there's a few reasons for that. One of them is that a political reason is concern that early next year we're going to start getting to the presidential primary, and early February voters in Iowa will hold their caucuses. And so there's a concern about impeachment kind of running up against that contest that a lot of Democrats in Congress are involved in. If there's a Senate trial, there's, I believe, five or six senators who are running for president who would be confined to Washington to sit as jurors in the trial. In addition, I think that they also think that their witnesses laid out some strong testimony in their view over the past couple of weeks, and they don't want time to kind of dilute the story and dilute the impact. And for a lot of swing voters, I'm sorry, a lot of swing House members in swing districts, particularly around Philadelphia and South Jersey, they're concerned that they don't want to be seen as spending all of their time on impeachment, and that's all they came to Washington to do. So they want to be able to, in an election year next year, say that they're working on issues like health care and prescription drugs. And so they kind of want to move through this process, say that they did what they see as their duty to hold the president accountable, and also tell voters that they're working on other issues.
We're speaking with Jonathan Tamari, national political reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's written a piece entitled, What's Next for Trump Impeachment After Thanksgiving? Is it possible they're also trying to hurry up because this does not appear, at least according to some polling, that it's not moving the needle of public opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the polling suggests that support increased initially when Democrats first started this, but has really leveled out. And the recent polls we've seen from CNN and Quinnipiac suggest it hasn't really moved at all, even after these hearings that they held, the nationally televised hearings. So, yeah, it could be that they realize that it's not going to be, they're not going to win on this issue. And even if they really did move public opinion, it's still a huge long shot that the president would be removed in the Senate, obviously where Republicans have a majority. And so, if it's going to end up falling short anyway, I think, right, there maybe is a feeling of, let's get this done, say that we did it, but we all know kind of what the final outcome is going to be, so let's get there.
Yeah. In the Republican-controlled Senate, is it possible that questions are asked of witnesses the Democrats initially blocked that maybe Democrats don't want the public to hear from?
It's possible. I mean, they control, you know, Democrats control the process in the House, but Republicans do control it in the Senate. And they've talked about bringing Congressman Adam Schiff to testify and asking him questions. Republicans have accused him of being involved in the initial whistleblower complaint. Now, there's no evidence of that, and he has firmly denied it, but they certainly would like to put him under oath. There's talk about calling Joe or Hunter Biden to testify and raising questions about their actions in Ukraine. And that is a big part of the counter story that Republicans are telling. And they may have the chance to do that. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, Republicans are going to kind of get their swing once this moves to the Senate.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Tamari, national political reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here now with more of America's First News, including three things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, a powerful winter storm that bedeviled Thanksgiving weekend travelers across the country has now reached the Northeast. Heavy snow and freezing cold is hitting patches of New England and New York, while ice accumulations are predicted in parts of Pennsylvania. Hundreds of flights were canceled across the country. This passenger was trying to get out of LaGuardia in New York.
We did drive through a whiteout, complete whiteout, and like lots of freezing rain, and I was thinking to myself, I'm glad we're going.
The system dumped heavy snow from parts of California to the northern Midwest and inundated other areas with rain. Number two, the House impeachment report on President Trump will be unveiled today behind closed doors for key lawmakers as Democrats push ahead with the inquiry. Despite the White House's declaration it will not participate in the first Judiciary Committee hearing, the Democratic majority on the House Intelligence Committee says the report, compiled after weeks of testimony, will speak for itself. It's being made available for committee members to review ahead of a vote tomorrow to send it to the Judiciary Committee for Wednesday's hearing. Number three, clashes sparked by suspected cartel gunmen in a northern Mexican town killed 20 people this weekend, putting more pressure on Mexico's president to curb gang violence after the U.S. vowed to label the gangs terrorists. Mexico's president repeated yesterday he would not accept any intervention from abroad while doubling down on his strategy of trying to contain the cartels. Also this morning, a financial reckoning is looming for the Roman Catholic Church. New statutes of limitations laws in 15 states allow claims of sexual abuse going back decades, clearing the way for a deluge of lawsuits that could surpass anything the nation's clergy's sexual abuse crisis has ever seen before. The number of new cases against the church could top 5,000, with more than $4 billion in potential payouts.
No, I have my powers to protect me. You don't.
Excuse me, I climbed the North Mountain, survived a frozen heart, and saved you from my ex-boyfriend, and I did it all without powers. So, you know, I'm coming.
Me too. I'll drive.
I'll bring the snacks!
Frozen 2 remains red hot at the box office. The Disney Ice Princess sequel set a Thanksgiving record over the weekend, and in its 10 days of domestic release, Frozen 2 has earned $288 million. Number two on the weekend box office was Knives Out with $27
million. Wow. All right. Thank you, Jen. It is 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Well, with Cyber Monday in mind today, a new survey finds most of us expect to spend the same or less this holiday season than last year. We get more from This Morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
How much money are you going to spend this holiday season? According to a new Bankrate survey, three-quarters of us will not increase our spending this year. Joining us to go in-depth on the survey, Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, what does your survey tell us?
What we found is that a majority, 52%, expect to pay about the same for their holiday-related purchases or spend in that fashion. 22% say that they'll spend less. Only about 13% said that they will pay more. So I think that this indicates that a fair number of Americans are fairly cautious about their holiday spending outlook, even within the broader environment where consumer sentiment is regarded to be firm, if not robust.
Why did you find that people are not increasing their spending a great deal?
Yeah, good question. So the main reason, and you might say that this is almost a heartening response, 28% said that they're focused on saving, and we're happy to see that because, as we've discussed with you all many times, the number one financial regret among Americans is the failure to save, both for retirement and for emergencies. Elsewhere, we found that an almost equal number, 27%, was concerned about their finances and or the economy, and 22% is focused on paying down debt. So these are the reasons that people are not going to spend more this season than last.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, are there differences among different age groups in your survey?
Well, some of them are, as you might expect. For example, with respect to spending intentions, the propensity to spend more rises with income. One that might not be quite as obvious is those who intend to spend more tend to be less so as ages rise. And I think part of that is because, obviously, seniors do tend to be on so-called fixed incomes. I like to joke that essentially we're all on fixed incomes unless you're Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos. But the other part is that the reality is that, you know, very often when, let's say, the children are out of the house, when that is, you know, has been a factor, it may be that older Americans tend to spend less in that regard. When we wanted to know who is focused on saving, since we did mention and identify that that's a key reason why people are sort of being cautious with their spending, those who are focusing on that, the majority of members of Generation Z, believe it or not, and for those who are unaccustomed to all these labels, Generation Z is the newest entrant among cohorts, those aged 18 to 22. And we're seeing some differences with this youngest group compared to their older counterparts, the millennials. For example, those who are focused on saving among millennials, 36%, so substantially fewer. That's the group that's age 23 to 38.
Mark, you've talked about debt previously. Are there still people who get too wrapped up in the holiday and excited about buying gifts and they get too much into debt? They're too willing to put things on their cards?
Yeah, I appreciate the question because, you know, at Bankrate, we're all about sort of trying to help people achieve their financial objectives. And that doesn't include overspending on things, right? Because, you know, think about the messaging that's out there this time of year where, I mean, there are, for goodness sake, car commercials that are suggesting that, you know, if you're a loving family member, you're buying a member of your family a new car, which I can pretty much say from personal experience is not something that we tend to do.
This morning's Jennifer Koschenko with Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Did your last bottle of cologne come from the grocery store? Now you smell like your dad? Hi there, Gordon Deal. To solve your dad cologne problems, let me introduce you to Hawthorne. Trust me, this cologne smells amazing. Go to hawthorne.co and take their quick quiz and find out the two colognes that are best for you. One for work, maybe one for play. This quiz is really cool. It took me 2 minutes and was very specific. They were able to tailor products for me that were perfect for my needs. From colognes to body wash, shampoos, and more. Take the quiz now and get started. I only usually wear cologne when I receive it as a gift, but the Hawthorne cologne now has me thinking differently. Same for body wash. I typically grab whatever from the grocery store, but the exfoliating wash from Hawthorne is next level stuff. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use my promo code Gordon to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co. And use my promo code Gordon to get 10% off your purchase. Hawthorne.co.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, December 2. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenko. Some of our top stories and headlines. A snowstorm blamed on 7 deaths across the country has now arrived in the Northeast. Trump administration will not take part in an impeachment hearing this week. 10 people injured at a shooting outside the French Quarter in New Orleans. Supreme Court hears a gun case from New York today. Texans over the Patriots in Sunday Night Football, giving the Ravens the number one seed in the AFC as of now. And why South Korea doesn't want fat, sloppy wrestlers anymore. That story in about 20 minutes. Retailers are trying everything they can to keep up with Amazon, especially as we reach Cyber Monday today. Macy's, for example, offers same-day delivery and in-store returns for online purchases. Black Friday deals began at Kohl's, right? Craft cocktails served in the women's shoe department section at Nordstrom. By one measure, those strategies are working. After years when it seemed as if Amazon was swallowing the industry, many large old-school chains like Kohl's and Macy's have largely stabilized their lagging sales. But reporter Michael Corkery at the New York Times says those victories may be short-lived because retailers are caught up in a seemingly never-ending race against Amazon. Michael, explain.
It's like they're on a treadmill. It feels like, you know, after
years when it looked like they're, you know, particularly the department stores like a Macy's, their, you know, businesses were in serious trouble. They have now shifted, built out their e-commerce operations. You can return the things you buy online in the stores. Like they've created a seamless online and in-store experience. And yet, as they attract more customers, all of these investments have really cost them in profits. And so it feels like each time they catch up with Amazon, they have to spend more money to catch up with the next advancement that Amazon makes. So it's a bit like being on a treadmill for the old line retailers.
What's the Amazon advantage, Michael?
Well, it's a couple of things, but the big thing is that Amazon is valued by its investors as a growth stock. So for decades, the shareholders of Amazon, as long as the company was growing, it didn't need to make so much money. It didn't need to turn out profits. So that means that the other retailers that are valued like most companies, well, you know, does the company make money or not? They didn't have a chance of competing with that because Amazon could spend freely in building out their warehouses and building out their, you know, new technological gadgets like Alexa, you know, investing in one-day shipping, even if it was costing them money. And that grew their customers and grew their dominance online. And the other retailers that were, you know, operating and are still operating on, you know, in reality, still had to try to do all of that and turn out a profit.
Yeah. We're speaking with Michael Corkery, business reporter at the New York Times. His piece is called Chasing Amazon, Retailers Are in a Never-Ending Arms Race. So you referenced it, and I wanted to ask you about that stat you quoted in your story from Morgan Stanley, which says the typical order for one-day shipping is $8.32, and Amazon spends $10.59 to fulfill and ship it. So they're losing money on many sales. How does that square?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really when you see that stat and you look at just how much money they're willing to lose on each item, you see just how unprofitable e-commerce can be. And you know that's okay for Amazon because they're gaining so many sales and they're growing their dominance online so quickly and so significantly. But if Amazon is faced with those numbers, so is every other retailer. Yeah. And yet they're not growing as fast. And so it really does, you know, raise the question, I mean, where does this end?
Yeah.
Does it really end? I mean, when you're up against a company and competing against a company that is still considered one of the most valuable enterprises in the world, and yet it's losing money on much of its core business, how do you compete against that? It just doesn't seem to be a fair fight for the other retailers.
I thought it was an interesting, if you can't beat them, join them type thing, at least on a small scale. You referenced Kohl's kind of partnering with Amazon. How's that work?
Kohl's has tried what its CEO regards as, you know, the biggest initiative of the year, which is putting kiosks in all of their 1,000 stores where, for free, you can come and take your Amazon return, get it packed, taped, and shipped out to Amazon. They'll do it all for you. But meanwhile, the idea is that you have now come to Kohl's, and so while you're there, presumably you're going to buy something from Kohl's. That seems pretty great. I mean, I think that's the big thing that people don't like about online shopping is the returns and the cost and just the hassle of it. But, I mean, how many incremental sales that will generate from Kohl's? I mean, it's a big bet. It remains to be seen what that's going to do to drive traffic, but it really speaks to, I think, the desperation of some of these old-school retailers.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Corkery at the New York Times. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday. A wave of symphony orchestras are experimenting with high-tech wall casts, projecting performances outside their halls in a bid to attract younger, more diverse audiences. It's a story by Ariane Campo Flores, reporter at the Wall Street Journal based in South Florida, where the experiment began. Ariane, what's happening?
This is a growing trend that you're seeing among symphony orchestras around the U.S. and other arts institutions as well. And it is basically the projection of performances on the exterior walls of their buildings. And doing that as a way to kind of create a more casual cultural event that passersby can enjoy or that people can gather to watch in a much more casual setting. One of the pioneers in this effort is the New World Symphony in Miami Beach, Florida, which is an orchestral academy and one that experiments a lot with new ways to try to bring in younger and more diverse audiences, to kind of regenerate the aging audiences that orchestras have been struggling with for years. And so they, for about 8 years now, have been putting on what they call wall casts, which are what I described, essentially a simulcast of the performance that's happening inside, but projected onto the outdoor wall in high resolution with really rich sound from 170 speakers situated throughout this park. And they have become a real big popular cultural event in the Miami area.
Wow. You mentioned the 170 speakers. I was going to say, how's the sound? Because it's outside, not inside, where there might be, you know, the ideal wall to have sound bouncing off of. So what's it like?
Right. So obviously, if you want, you know, the perfect acoustic experience, you know, that's something that you're going to get inside the concert hall. But what they created with this facility in Miami Beach, which is a relatively new facility, it's a really snazzy building. It was designed by Frank Gehry, and it has a park in front called Soundscape Park, which was designed with this very type of experience in mind. And so if you are situated in the main part of the lawn, looking up at that wall where the concert is being projected, there are installed speakers throughout sort of both sides running alongside that lawn. And I mean, this is really high-tech sound equipment. The audio quality is really terrific, and the sound is really rich and clear when you're sitting in that area.
So the trick, I guess, right, is to turn those free outdoor viewers into paying inside customers.
Right. That's part of the goal. Orchestras need to bring in paying patrons in order to continue to survive. So that is ideally what would happen, that you would convert some of these folks who aren't natural concert goers, but who become fans of the outdoor experience, to eventually buy tickets to see a performance inside because they like what they hear. They realize that listening to classical music is something that they like. That sort of thing. So, and there is some data that the New World Symphony has gathered on this, and it is a relatively small percentage of people that they have converted, at least according to the data they've been able to track, into paying customers inside. But the other way in which this can help the bottom line of these institutions is that they, by doing something like this and creating a real community event, what the leaders of these institutions say is that they've created a bond with the community.
Thanks, Ariane. Ariane Kempo Flores, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it. World-class, I'm a cut of butter.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it. World-class,
supporting our entire workforce. Everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top, top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News, including three things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, freezing rain and snow is sweeping across the Northeast, disrupting plans for millions returning home after the Thanksgiving holiday. By yesterday afternoon, the storm began passing through New York and Massachusetts. Airlines were canceling hundreds of flights while delaying thousands of others. Albany, New York is buried in a foot of snow. City Police Officer Steve Smith.
We see a lot of people traveling too closely. When the roads are as slick as they are right now,
give yourself some space between yourself and the vehicle in front of you.
The wintry mix is expected to turn to mostly snow today for much of the Northeast. Number two, the White House has told Democratic lawmakers President Trump and his lawyers will not participate in a congressional impeachment hearing this week, citing a lack of fundamental fairness. White House counsel Pat Cipollone wrote to Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler saying the administration can't be expected to participate in a hearing while the witnesses are yet to be named. Democratic Congresswoman Val Demings of Florida spoke with ABC.
They want to, what I believe, is to play a political game and tie the process up in the courts as long as they can and run the clock out. We're not willing to play that game.
Democrats are preparing this week to shift the focus of their impeachment inquiry from fact-finding to the consideration of possible charges of misconduct over Trump's dealings with Ukraine. Number three, 10 people were shot and wounded early yesterday near the French Quarter in New Orleans. Hours later, in another part of town, another shooting killed two men and wounded two others. New Orleans Police Superintendent Sean Ferguson.
We are actively investigating this right now, this very moment, recovering any type of video footage or witness statements that we can use.
Two of the 10 people shot on Canal Street are in critical condition. And in the world of online shopping, today is expected to be the storm after the storm. Adobe Analytics expects shoppers to drop $9.4 billion on online sales this Cyber Monday. If that does happen, it would be a 19% increase over last year's Cyber Monday. Sit at your keyboard, your shopping.
Not such a productive day at work, at least maybe for, I don't know, a half hour of shopping or whatever. Something like that. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. South Korea is trying to rebrand its take on sumo wrestling called Shidam. Korea's traditional wrestling has fallen on hard times. Many people had little desire, apparently, to watch 300-pound men toss each other to the ground. Once a national pastime that drew two-thirds of Korean households, TV ratings slid under 1% last year. Shidam claims to predate Japanese sumo wrestling. Sumo wrestlers win by shoving an opponent outside the field of play. In Shidam, players lose when any part of their body above the knee touches the ground. But the Wall Street Journal says Shidam's organizers believe they have found a way to pick the sport back up off the mat, and that's a sexy makeover. The Korea Shidam Association says drooping flesh, cellulite, and sweat makes female viewers want to turn away. The association has dropped the maximum allowed weight by more than 20 pounds to about 308 pounds, with more weight reductions on the way. Meanwhile, attendance at Shidam events this year has grown fivefold, driven in surge by guess who? Female fans. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.